open the Word of God today. And again, we thank you, Lord, for the blessed book we're fixing to open. Lord, without it, we wouldn't know you or know anything about you. And we're glad that not only did you show us how to be saved, but Lord, you tell us how to live for you. And we thank you for that. And study this book. And as we do this, it gives us insight about God until we see him with our face in the glorified body soon in the future as the rapture is going to take place. And we expect that any day, Lord, but you may, because you love the world so much, continue on, and we may go through the exit of death one by one. But one of these days, the church is going as a body. And then we'll see things as they really are, as God has seen them from the beginning. And help us today to learn from our study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible and turn with me, first of all, to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. I want to read verse 13 through through verse 17 and chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. This morning is a study that God has given me to help me understand things in my life. I wished I had seen this many years ago, but I didn't. I knew some of the things, but what I see in studying this for weeks now, that God has shown that things we face in this life, and I'm thinking what some of you have been down through the years, death, tragedy, troubles, problems come through, and many times when they come, they hurt. Most of the time, you lead someone to the Lord, and within a few days after that, you get talking to them, they'll say something like, you know, I believe I had trouble before I got saved. It seems like I've had more trouble since I got saved than before I got saved. Well, I believe God will answer that this morning, because did you know, as we study about Jesus Christ and his baptism, amazing thing hit me a few weeks ago, that how fast he left the glory of God in the sense of the Holy Spirit descended and ended up in the wilderness facing Satan himself. And that should give us something we see today. Notice we look in verse chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, said, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? And he said, Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Now, this verse really amazed me in studying the fact why. You would know that John knew that he was baptizing people because God said, but now he said, Lord, you should baptize me. And then Jesus said, no, listen, this is what leads to or becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. You know what? It seemed like Christ is saying to John, listen, John, we must do what God says for us to do. If you don't understand it, you better do what God says for us to do. And though baptism, in essential, what you see it, meant different, but to him, he said, therefore, it must be that you baptize me. Now, we see here, watch, the reason for that, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are present. And he's showing us something about Christ as a man, how that God, Christ's Son, can be where he's at and show us as a man or as human beings, we have a power that we don't know anything about sometimes, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. And so here, notice what he says. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water. And I can't understand how anybody thinking be sprinkled or dabbed by going out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighten upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In chapter 4, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the mountain, or into the wilderness, to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. Well, I think he would be as a human being. If you look maybe in Mark chapter 1, I'd like to read verse down about verse 4. Verse 9 through 12. And just again, it's just along the same lines as we see in Matthew. In the past, in those days, when Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee, was baptized with John in Jordan, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descended upon him. Here in Matthew, he said, it lightened on him, some of the same language in a different way. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then watch verse 12. Mark says, and immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. In Matthew, it says that after this took place, he led him into the Spirit. Some people say, well, that's a contradiction. No, it isn't. Why? Because it's God's word. Where he led him and driven, what difference did it make? He went into the wilderness. I mean, sometimes God is letting us see. God is letting us see this is God's divine will for Jesus Christ. He's not only been anointed that the Holy Spirit came down and fell upon him as a man. That's God's divine will. But it's also God's divine will for him to go into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Why is that? He's shown us from the very, very beginning. You go back to the book of Genesis, and you find in the perfect garden that God had made for Adam and Eve, Satan had access to them to tempt them. And in that temptation that they did at that time, Adam and Eve failed their test in the Garden of Eden and were cast out of the garden. When Jesus Christ all of a sudden set forth his ministry going forth, that he's going to be ministering what he came for 3.5 years, though he's 30 years old this time, he's going to be led into the wilderness and be tempted by the same devil that tempted Adam and Eve. And he won the victory and Satan fled from him. And therefore, he went back doing his ministry, which we're in the wilderness now. But we've been in the wilderness ever since we cast out of the Garden of Eden. And Satan is running. So I'm seeing that what Jesus did, he did for us what Adam and Eve got us in mess because they didn't do what they should do. And it shows us that any time we do anything that wrong or against God Almighty, it may affect a lot of folks, ladies and gentlemen, that should not have been affected if we'd let God just let us. Amen. And so here, I think this. I want to speak to you a few minutes on from baptism or the place of the blessed place in God's divine will. And in this case, Jesus' baptism. It's not necessary. Hey, he's not been baptized for sin because of remission of sin. He didn't have to confess his sin. He's not been baptized because he there's something may he have done wrong and had to get it right. And Father, the words of baptism showed that he had made it right. He didn't have to. This was to fulfill the word of God, that God said it's something to be done. And when you and I who are saved, we are baptized not because it's a sense of salvation, because it does give us the ability to start out doing what God tells us to do. Just simply obey the test. That we are saved and don't mind letting people know through the waters of baptism we demonstrate death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So from baptism, or you might say a place, a blessed place in God's will, to the wilderness, which also is in God's will for Jesus Christ at this time. Go back to Kadesh Barnea, and you'll see an example of this in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, when Israel was tested to go in the wilderness also because they wouldn't go into the Holy Land. And for 40 years, in Numbers chapter 14, verse 33, 34, they were tested in the wilderness, and those even who were 20 years old and older died as a new group came up and went into the Holy Land when God set them into the land of Canaan where God had sent them. Jesus himself fasted 40 days. It's a type of example of the 40 years, nights, days and nights that you see over in the wilderness. At the same time, we also know in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10 through 11, he makes this statement. He says, as he go through chapter 4 and look at the temptation of Christ, first of all, we see that he, in verse 3, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones into bread. This is the physical need, and this is what we see in 1 John 2, 16, that the lust of the flesh that he was tempted with to start with. The second one we see over in verse 6, and he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, written, he shall give his angel charge of thee concerning thee, and so forth, and bear thee up, lest any thou should cast thy foot against a stone. This here is the pride of life, his human desire that we see over in also 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. It talks about three gates that where sin comes to our life. And then we'll also see that in verse 9, he said to him all these things. We said it in verse 8, and the devil taking him up on a seen a high mountain and showed all the kingdom of the world and the glory of them. And he said to them, all these things I'll give thee if thou fall down and worship me. This again was the lust of the eyes to see that which led to the pride of life. And so all those three things that Satan used to Eve in the garden, he used it Christ here. Eve fell, Adam fell, Jesus Christ did not fail. And that helps us to know that he is in us if you're saved, and therefore you and I will not fail at these either if we're truly born again. Because he has paid the price for us. Not that we don't deserve it, the wrath of God, but he's paid the price for us. So from baptism, just to narrow this down, baptism to the wilderness, which baptism, again, is a blessed place in God's divine will, and the wilderness, though, which is not a blessed place for you and I, but it's still in God's divine will. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know James 4, verse 7 said, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that's what exactly Jesus proved he would. You find in the Word of God that it says in verse 11, when Jesus said that, get thee hence, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt worship. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Again, from baptism to the wilderness, shorten up the topic. If you approach the Scripture wrong, ladies and gentlemen, listen, your application will be wrong. If you approach the Scripture right, then your application should be right. It is, in fact, that Christ's tension changes from Matthew 3 to Matthew chapter 4. Immediately after the Holy Spirit descended and landed on him, immediately he left there and went into the wilderness to be tested. Why? Well, why shouldn't Christ be tested? We are. We would fail. He never fails. Why shouldn't he be tested if Adam and Eve was tested and they failed? By the way, they were in a perfect society. They had never known sin, but they still failed. You and I came into a world that flooded with sin. Sin was in our life before we were saved. Sin was in our life after we were saved. But on the other hand, Jesus Christ came who knew no sin and was made sin for us. And in that wonderful atmosphere, he died that you and I might have life, and that's his life, and be delivered from the wilderness that we're living in right at this moment. It's a fact that Christ's tension changed in Matthew 3 to Matthew 4. These two events, ladies and gentlemen, are not isolated from each other. They should never be viewed independently. Why? Jesus Christ shows us that we need God the Holy Spirit to face Satan. And by the way, this world is our wilderness. John the Baptist, you see in John, the Scripture teaches in the Gospel that he came crying out in the wilderness, in the world that he was in. Because this world is anti-God, and we have truth in this world trying to bring people out of that system into the family of God, which is the children of God. Three quick points I want to make to you from baptism to the wilderness. The first one is Jesus is teaching us great truth about what happens between his baptism and the wilderness. There's a you and I. I don't know when you got saved. I know when I got saved. I've been a church member for 3 years and didn't have a lot of change outwardly because I'd already been putting on style. But on the hand, I knew there was a change inwardly. And there were things that God began to deal with me then at that time could not be seen as much because it made them real to me that what I had been trying to practice in myself, I could not, but with him I could. And now I began to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And you look at Jesus at his baptism when the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and you hear the voice of the Father. God the Father said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. The Holy Spirit, like a dove, descends so he can be seen, so John will know that's the Spirit of God is going to descend upon the one that should come. And lands upon him. And now you have God the Son and God the Father speaking, and the Holy Spirit, like a dove, landed to anoint him as a man to go into his ministry. It is a tremendous thing about the ministry of Christ fixing to take place, which you had not seen in the last 30 years of his life. The next 3.5 years are going to be tremendous years in Christ's life to do what he's come to do in this life. So in baptism, I see Jesus went from a perfect fellowship when he was anointed, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, to being tested in the wilderness. I mean, he hungered in verse 2. He had human desires in verse 6. He had his spiritual side also was attacked. Jesus Christ went from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit's presence to Jesus, who is going to stop what Satan started in Genesis with Adam and Eve. And Jesus did not cause this, but he's going to fix it permanently so people don't have to worry about hell anymore. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad he broke through my selfishness and that religious jargon I had on and clothes I had on and reached my heart to let me understand without Jesus Christ, we are nothing. With him, we are everything. And that's what this Bible teaches us as we go through. One moment, he's totally worshiping God. And there's a great thing hearing the Father say, this is my Son. The next moment, he's battling Satan. One moment, he hears a voice from heaven from God. The next moment, he hears a voice from hell by Satan. And he's showing us that new creation to be attacked in this life. And some of you have been right there where I'm talking about. You've been saved. And probably when after you're saved, the first few months, there's something happened and it began. Because Satan attacks a lot the first few months afterwards one gets saved. So he understands how you begin to grow enough to use the Word of God. And then he comes in spells after that. So what happens, you're grow enough to feed him there. And he'll catch you down the road somewhere or another and think he'll get you again. And you have to grow enough to get him there. This word's the only thing that would defeat Satan. Amen. I don't care who we are. You and I are no match for him. And you can use your opinion all you want to, but this word is the only thing that will stand up in God's court. That's the only one we're going to have to worry about facing anyhow. And so I look at this. I'm saying, understand, one moment God said him, this is my son whom I'm well pleased, as his baptism. But then the next moment, you find Satan said, if you are the son of God. One moment, Jesus is facing his Father, then the Holy Spirit. The next moment, he's facing Satan himself. Today, ladies and gentlemen, for you and I, it is like being in church by faith on Sunday and be blessed, and then on Monday through Friday, you're facing the wilderness. On Sunday, you find yourself wanting to be to bless the enemy because they curse you while you're blessed by God in his word. But then you find by Friday the next week, you want to address the enemy with a language that you don't. No one needs an interpretation. Because what you say is the interpretation. The transaction from Sunday to Monday, from transaction from Sunday to Monday through Friday, it's terrible times. You start off on the right road on Monday morning, and suddenly you turn right or left, and you get on what is called GPS. That's God's position system. By Tuesday, you made a right or left turn to the wilderness. All of a sudden, you're facing things you never thought you'd have to face as a child of God. Amen. Amen. If not, you're not doing much for God, I tell you that. Because Satan's not going to let you and I in this world, unless he has time to serve God like he should, and in turn, not have the regression of that. I'm so glad God let me see all the things in our ministry of serving him for 58 years that came, that were burdened, so forth lifted. There's a reason that he did that, because Christ has given us a victory. 1 John 5 says that God's Son has given us a victory. Every victory we have in Christ is because of him. And so I see a wonderful thing as I look at this baptism into the wilderness. We come into this world with two personalities to believe. Hear me carefully. There's only two people in this world that we need to believe, or we might believe. It's God and it's Satan. They're the two authorities for you and I. And I choose to believe God as much as my mind will let me, rather than Satan. And so when I look at this, I understand. The Holy Bible tells me about both. The Holy Bible gives me an instruction about who Satan is, so I cannot be deceived. And he tells me who God is, who I cannot be deceived. And he gives the ability by the Holy Spirit to decide between the two. But sometimes you have to really watch what you do, because you got to stand before God's court one day rather than this court. And so God is telling me, look at Jesus Christ, son. Boy, I'm telling you, for 2 months now, I've looked in some of this. It is amazing how the Lord leads. The fact when you're trying to make a decision about the Lord, and my wife and I have to a point, we have to make some decision now because it's a known fact. We cannot do what we did 20 years ago. No, no, I'm just, when you begin to really pray about things that you know, your ministry, you've got to do, but you know for a fact, you got to be sure God sanctioned it. And here I find studying this has been a great help along that line. As a matter of fact, Jesus shows us what happens between his baptism and the wilderness. Second thing I want you to notice, Jesus' baptism was a big deal. Do you know that? I bet you never thought about it much, just another thing in his son's routine. No, it was a big deal. And I was amazed. I went back and looked. You know, Jesus' birth, which we're fixing to celebrate, is only mentioned in two Gospels, and that's in Matthew and Luke. But Jesus' baptism is mentioned in all four Gospels. Isn't that amazing? If something mentioned one time, two times is important, we know the birth of Christ is important. But let me ask you, is not then the baptism be mentioned four times in all four Gospels? Isn't it an amazing thing? In that, it must be important, hadn't it? There's something there, ladies, we missed. And I think it's this. God is showing us in Christ, beginning of his ministry, he did something for us that we don't have to worry. We will have victory, like 1 John says, in this life over the devil and his angels. In this life, in the middle and also at the end, because God has conquered this for you and I. And I love it. Jesus' birth is only mentioned in Matthew and Luke. His baptism experience is recorded in all four Gospels. Baptism does not make me what I'm supposed to be. Right? Yeah, it's no power. Baptism doesn't make me what I'm supposed to be. Baptism only shows that what I ought to be by obeying God. And that's the first commandment he gives for that. Now, no, when the heavens open up, something big is fixing to happen. Heaven opened, the Holy Spirit descended down upon the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 1:9, heaven opened up and received Jesus Christ back into glory. And he said, I'm coming again one of these days. And I got news for you. It's going to open again on the eastern sky before long. And Jesus is coming back. When the heavens open, there's something big going to happen. I don't think the church is really looking for him that much today. There's something about it. I read an article that's been said now that people said they're saved. Don't even have the convictions that people had just 50 years ago. There's something wrong. Nothing really matters anymore. Just only got a ticket to heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, there's more to salvation than a ticket to heaven, I'll tell you that. I mean, sometimes you get a ticket and get in the wrong place. And I want to be sure we understand that through Jesus Christ, the next time the heavens open, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-18, 1 Corinthians 15, 52, 54, note who shows up at Jesus' baptism. He shows us that all three of the Godhead are there. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't read this event without saying all three are there. There's not one being three in the sense that there's only one of them that God the Father is God the Son, and God the Son is the Holy Spirit, and God the Holy Spirit is God the Father. No, they all three are one individual personalities. And they show up together at the baptism of Jesus Christ. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. God's announcement had nothing to do. Hear me. When God said, this is my Son, who I'm well pleased, when he announced that at this particular time, it had nothing to do with Jesus' performance on earth, because he hadn't done anything much that we have a record about except grow. We know he's 12 years old when he did. We see some things, but the Bible doesn't give us much until now. He gives all life's Christ 3.5 years and takes up the other 20, you don't even, the 30, you don't even see much about except where he's at. So I'm seeing that this helped me also to see some things. It shows us that Jesus Christ had done anything that we know of up to this time that we know of. This had to do with his relations with his Heavenly Father, which had been forever in the past. You know why God could say that? Because from everlasting past, he was pleased with his Son. And that meant he'd be everlasting to the future pleased with his Son. And that means he's fixing to start his ministry for 3.5 years, and he's letting people know, as he starts, I'm pleased with him, and when he finishes, I'll be pleased with him. Amen. There's no other man on the face of the earth that's ever lived like that. He's bound to be who God said he is. Amen. He's bound to be. And I'm glad I learned the truth many years ago and walked with him for 58 years. I see this. This had to do with his relationship with his Father. This shows us that our baptism is where we as Christians should understand who we are in Christ Jesus, but is not needed for salvation. It's needed for, listen to me, identification. The fact that we tell who we are, I'm not saying that to get salvation. I'm saying that because, and you should be saying it, because you are a child of God, and it's for identification that you are a child of God based on the Word of God. And God Almighty sanctioned his Son at this time. No, Jesus proves to us that the approval from heaven will not keep us from the attack from the enemy. That amazes me. You know what? What? Jesus didn't have to be attacked by him as far as something he did. It goes as a show that you can live down to the best we can in this life and still be attacked by Satan. And if it does, it's kind of like God allowed us to be tested to go in grace and knowledge at that moment, as long as the Word of God is what it should be in our lives. No, Jesus proved to us that the proof of heaven will not keep us from the attack of the enemy. As a matter of fact, the approval that heaven can bring the attack of demons of hell, more than likely, the moment that God says in open that he approves of us, then Satan just waits for the time to try to destroy and defeat that. Satan, oh my, if we could see, the battle is in the spiritual world, with Satan and God taken out among God's people and this world that Satan is influencing in this life. As a matter of fact, the approval from heaven can bring that attack. Now, the question I look at when I look at Matthew chapter 4, why could not God have said in the wilderness what he said at the baptism? Why wouldn't God have said, before we even baptized, I'm going to let Satan know who my son is. Satan, I want you to know this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, Christ, go ahead to John and be baptized. He didn't do that. Everybody saw him baptized. John was preaching the baptism, and it's called the baptism of John, which is where people show they have moved from where they're at to believe what John had said. And now they see Christ been baptized, and you think, if anything, boy, if a man's going to ever really have it good, he's going to have it good now. He's doing what God said to do. And Jesus is showing the very moment we get to the place to try to do what God says do, watch out. If they attack Christ, you think you and I, as strong as he is? I'm not. Not at all. And I like what I see because he's telling us what God sets forth in his word. When Satan said, if you be the Son of God, do so and so. If thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. Where's God at? He's just said to man, at the water of baptism, said, this is my beloved Son, who I am with these. Hear ye him in other places. But now he's been attacked by Satan. Where's God at? If I be the Son of God, turn these bread stones into bread. If I be the Son of God. He also made the statement in verse 9, if thou will fall and worship me, I'll give you all of this that I've shown you. Don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you something. Sometimes I say, Lord, if I don't understand, but I know, like I say again, I can't trust your feet way, I can't trust your hand. Maybe I can't see, let me put it this way, I can't see your hand, I can't see your way you're leading, but I know this, I trust your heart. And it looks to me like there's been a good time for God to say, now listen, Satan, you know you're lying. You just heard me say, this is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. You don't think like that? By the way, he didn't say that. But that said it, wasn't it? You know why he didn't say it? Because God wanted us to see his son acted like we, that we use this book like we should, which God has given us in our day, which is the absolute word of God. He will use the book to help us resist Satan. And when you get to a point, you can't fight him by yourself. If you do, you lose. This is the only thing we have. And sometimes we don't know enough. You have to study a while to get something answered to know you act in God's court like you should act and what we should do as a child of God. Whether I'm a member of church or not, it makes no difference. And then I understand, as I see further, this would have settled the problem completely. Why not? In other words, deal with Satan in the wilderness, then how Jesus baptized. Well, Jesus' baptism was a big deal. But wait a minute, God don't work like we work. His ways are not our ways. Amen? Amen? His ways are not our ways. What we do sometimes is out of kilter, but God said, ain't it amazing? He loves it enough, he works it out and works it around somewhere down the road where we'll see that he still loves us. And even though that we find ourselves not being what we should be sometimes, he still loves us, even a child of God. So the third thing, even physical birth shows us that we come into the world, which is a wilderness spiritually. I think about, we're not born in this world through physical birth. Listen to me carefully. We're not born as a baby in this world through physical birth. Come in laughing, just having a great time. You come into this world how? Crying. Isn't it amazing? One thing that God has to do is get you to cry. And if you don't cry, somebody will slap you and make you do cry. Mothers, you know what I'm talking about. We men don't. And he cries. Why? This world is not the place of our home. And I understand when I see parents look at that beautiful baby and that little girl when it's born or boy and say, welcome to a beautiful world. This beautiful world. And first thing, if he can see it all, he starts crying. The first thing, if they stop crying, someone slaps them, they cry some more. From physical birth to the wilderness, unto the wilderness of life, John said this. He said that I am a voice crying out in the wilderness. That word alone helped me say, Lord, that's where we're at. John is a voice crying out in the wilderness. So are we until God gets us home. The wilderness is not our home. Amen? It's not our home. We're headed to heaven. And I thank God to see that. And I also understand that today, many today are being raised in the wilderness of this old world without God. And that's the reason we need to have. God's given us the minister of reconciliation, that we would take this wonderful gospel to this wilderness that we're in, the world. And again, Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry after the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness, Matthew 4, verse 1 and 2. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't understand that. How many here has ever fasted? I've fasted 3 days and nights one time on something God I was praying about. And I tell you, too, I like to perish to death. And that was just 3 days and nights. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I don't see how he lived. I mean, a hard fast. He didn't eat anything for 40 days and 40 nights. He was facing something, showing us sometimes fasting is the thing we need to do. He don't do it that much. But he certainly shows his important life. We're in a church. But tomorrow, we'll be back in the wilderness. Right now, we're enjoying and thinking about how God would have us be to bless our enemies. But before this week's out, we're thinking things about them that should not be thought as a child of God. Because he said, we've had the victory. I told you a few weeks ago, I remember seeing that about snakes. Satan is like a snake that waits and watches and attacks. I heard and didn't realize at that time and went study. And my understanding, I haven't found yet anywhere I've looked at, that snakes never blink their eyes. And Satan uses the same tactics in Adam's day as a snake to deceive Adam and Eve. And by the way, he does the same thing today. He don't have anything new. It works for him. And so I understand this. From baptism, a blessed place in God's divine will, to the wilderness in God's divine will. When you got saved, the day you were baptized, you obeyed God. First thing you did to obey God after receiving Christ. From there, since then, you've been in the wilderness and been attacked, and so am I. One of these days, though, God is going to help me understand now what he talks about in 1 Thessalonians. He's going to come get the church. He's going to take us out of this. This is not our home. Because this evil world is a wilderness, spiritually speaking, in life. And so I have the question, I close, how do we win against Satan in our wilderness? Four things quick. Please hear this. No, hear nothing else. First of all, know where you are at biblically. You have to know that. I'm talking about knowing how to win the war against Satan while we're in the wilderness. Our temptation comes the hardest sometimes at the beginning of something. So we were tempted after we got saved within a few weeks and months. I'm sure of that. And then we got victory of that. And maybe we had some since then. But I know he starts to... In fact, the first test we get is generally the way how we're going to use it. If we're going to use it with the Word of God or try to face him ourselves. If we face him ourselves, we come in quick. If you use the Word of God, he's going to find a way to get around to the Word of God later in life. And if you've been saved 58 years, like I have, ladies and gentlemen, I go back now, and even this studying this message, I can go back in my ministry down through the years in my Christian life, and I see things happen. I understand more now why it happened than I did when it happened. And I'm glad I learned to trust God's heart. God don't make a mistake. If I trust his heart, do what I need to do in the incident, then I'm going to find I stand in his court one day. He's going to let us know that's the best court in the world. And then I see Jesus fasted. And when I see this, I know that he did that for me. Number two, I know that God's word is my only weapon against Satan spiritually. I know, first of all, I need to know where I'm at so I can be biblically. Then I need to also know God's word is my only weapon. Because spiritual, this is all I have. I don't have nothing else but this to look at to find answers for the problems of my spiritual life. Number two, Jesus said, that's when he said to Satan three times, it is written. It is written. It is written. Why? Did you know that Jesus did not have to say it is written? You say, preach, why? Because he was the Word of God. He could say, listen, by the way, if Jesus Christ in a body had come to Satan like he could have, Satan had to bow down to him. How do I know that? Because every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ one of these days. Every knee is going to bow to him. Every person who denies the blood of Christ is going to realize that's the only thing that could get them where God's at forever. And it'd be too late. Notice he said also, knowing what is at stake in my life. Jesus is always thinking about us. He always lives in us. We have an external expression of an internal change. If there's not a change inside that's taking place inside, then God tells us we're not a child of His. His child starts inside, not outside. And it comes outside, we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. We are walking by faith and not by sight. So I understand this thing about life. How can I win against Satan in my wilderness? Look at what Christ said do. Look at what the scriptures say do. And I'll find, know where I'm at, make sure I'm biblically, know that God's word is my only weapon spiritually. Jesus said it's written. Know what is at stake in my life. Jesus is always thinking about me. And understand the external expression should be what's internal in my heart and life. Number four, know where my help comes from. And God says, it's through the Holy Spirit by this book. Do not lose your worship while you're in the wilderness, folks. If you do, please hear this. If you and I lose our worship while we're in the wilderness, Satan will feel the gap, leaving God out completely. And I have seen people who were on fire for God for 5 to 10 years now don't even tend the house of God, don't even go anywhere. Some on booze and everything else. You tell me what makes the difference for one who sticks and one who does not. You're trying your best to understand who God said His Son was. You're trying to understand how the Holy Spirit was sent to live in us. You're trying to understand this book as my guide. And I must not react. I must act on what I lay out. I make briefs out for me, updating decisions at times. I find the scripture that's needed. If you don't believe, I can show you. I find the scriptures that's needed. And in turn, let the scriptures come to a conclusion that God says that I should be as a child of God in a situation that I may be in. And I know this. Do not lose your worship. Because if you do, Satan will fill the gap. Jesus is God's perfect offering. Man's perfection is found only in Jesus Christ. Man's perfection is not found in our performance. Man's perfection is not found in our progress. Our performance and progress honors God. If you don't believe it, my last verse, turn with me. I guess I'm boring you, but look at me in Hebrews, and I want to show you the last verse, and then we'll close. But notice, in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 14 through 9 to 14, 9 says first, the writer of Hebrews said, then say I in verse 9, lo, I come to thy will, God, he take away the first enemy, establish second. By the which will? By whose will? Man's will? No, by God's will. That's what he's talking about. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Watch one fall. Sanctify, he set us apart. He's done it once for all. That means he'll never have to do it again. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering enough times that same sacrifice, which never can take away sin. But watch in verse 12, he said, but this man, who's man? Verse 10, Jesus Christ. After he offered one sacrifice for sins, forever, circle that forever, sit down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. Watch. For by one offering, here it is, I just told you, one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Those he set apart, one offering, he's done that for you and I. So he's not looking at the fact that we're going to be perfect. He says we can be blameless. That is, come to God and ask him to forgive us and realize our performance and our progress honors God if we're walking right. But on the other hand, he says, if you look in Hebrews also chapter 12 and just one other verse. You see in verse 18, on a few verses, he's talking about Mount Sinai and where they have come to in the Old Testament. But watch what he says, where we've come to. You are come to Mount Zion. You're not come to Mount Sinai where Moses was at, but you come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. And watch this next phrase, and to the spirits of just men, just men, what's the next two words? Made perfect. How can you make a just man perfect? If a man is just, isn't he perfect then? Evidently not. You know what just is? It means that sin has been put under the blood. It means that a just man is not blameless. It means the fact that when we get with Christ, Christ has made it possible for us to be perfect. We will never have to worry about perfection in heaven when we get there. The glorified body will line up with the new creation. But in this life, he said, just men are made perfect. The day you got saved and God really saved your soul, he justified you. That's the only way we can be justified. And therefore become just. But he teaches us what? Not be blameless. And how do you have blameless? You heard it say many times. And since going in the 11 God service, you know, 1 John 1, 8, 9, 10 tells us how we can be blameless before him. And so here, I thank God that I understand a little bit about my wilderness. Not like I like to. Not like Christ did, I'm sure. But as a man, or I failed, he has paid the price. I could still be called a child of God. Whether I knew it or didn't know it. It'd be sad if God said something I didn't know it as a child and ended up going to hell because of it. I'm glad that Jesus Christ paid my sin debt. Amen. And that means simply this. I stand for God when they've got to count my life, but I better be sure I judge everything biblically because that's the only thing that... In fact, when Jesus, God said about his son, "Is my beloved son, I'm well pleased, hear ye him." He is the living word that the written word's taught about. If you're here this morning, not saved in this church or you stream wherever about, Jesus came because God loved us, the human race. He died for us that we might have life, that we might have it more abundantly. And in turn shows us the one we get saved, the moment they go through the waters of baptism and you go into this world from that. Watch out. The best thing in the world is to trick a little baby in Christ up before he grows in at all. And by the way, when you get saved, you're just like a baby come to this world. You don't know anything at all about physical life until you begin to grow. And you get saved, you don't know anything except you've trusted Christ as Savior. And he helps us grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And that's what most of this book is written. It's written about how we can come to him. But most of it shows how God is working, Old and New Testament, out of his system, that we obey him until he gets us home. And ladies and gentlemen, you and I have tried so hard and failed. One day, we'll do it right. Stand to your feet, please. My Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. You said your word not returning to me void, or to you void. And I thank you today. This is good for a salvation message for those who want to know Christ. But also there's instruction in this book, Lord, from the day we get saved till we get home, that God wants us to understand and let the Holy Spirit guide us in our lives. Lord, for people who grow in grace and knowledge, Lord, you put a great strength on them. You put a great requirement on them. And in that requirement, Lord, we'll have to give an account one day to you more so than maybe just a baby in Christ. Babies in this world, even the government don't look at it as being doing wrong if they do wrong. They don't know the difference. A baby in the family of God may be the same. But once we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, just like a child grows in grace, grows in this world, the natural world, they become accountable. And so do we in the family of God. Lord, that's the reason the mass, we're going to see a mass movement in the next few years against God, even now, denying Christ, denying the church. They hear more of anti-God on the media that we have today, which programs most people than the Word does, because the Word's only taught here in the house of God. Even many places on the news media, the Word's not been taught. And Father, that's what we need. Brian said this morning, we need the Word of God taught. And that's the Holy Spirit, Lord, help me feed upon that which I need. Not because Brother Ennis said it, but because I went to the Scriptures and see the verses that he talked about, or you led me to see from my own energy. I believe this, Lord, that the Word of God is written, that when I get something, it gets me going. When I begin to study by myself in the quietness of the hour, you speak to my heart from the Word of God. I'm amazed in Psalms, and especially Book of Proverbs, how much they have meant to me this year as Barbara and I have been through the struggles we've been through. This book is precious. Oh, my God. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. Please help me not go crossword with it. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help someone to see how much you love them. Jesus Christ died for them to not see. God, please, somehow or another, break through the wall that resistance with the precious word of God. Someone listen to my radio, someone listen to my Ustream, or here on these premises today, that we might be explained further because we're where we need to be in your plan and program for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.